So did any of you guys end up getting on the Wall Street Bets stuff or no?
Yep.
Really?
You did?
I mean, I was late to Nokia and I was late to AMC, but I had an AMC like a month prior to that and I sold it and that's why I got in, but it was like the day before they started limiting the purchase of those. You know what's even
Oh,
worse is
man.
my sister had 18 shares of costs, and I remember she told me about that one. She got it for like a buck something, right? And I was just like, yeah, but costs is such, they're not doing anything, and like I don't see anything happening. And they ended up going up to like over $100. And
Holy
tried to, I kept on telling my brother-in-law, sell it. He ended up not selling it until it came down to like 20 something dollars. So that kind of sucked. Even though it was still a win, but I'm
Yeah.
holding on to my Nokia and AMC because right now they're like abysmal.
Man, what about you, Jonas? Did you get on anything?
No, I like the world of stocks is just a little bit above me and my comprehension. I picked up sports betting this last year, so
Playing a dangerous game there with this pandemic, man. Holy cow.
well, I did quite well, I'll tell you.
Oh.
I did quite well. I'm positive on my initial investment. I haven't touched it in the last couple weeks 'cause since NFL has died down. But I had a couple big games betting on my Browns, and I mean I didn't like this. Obviously the team was like, I don't know, 6 and 11 against the spread or 6 and 10 against the spread. But I was a money line guy, and so down the stretch, like once that team got it going and Baker got it going, I had some pretty good weeks, I'll say. So.
Nice.
I mean, all this stock stuff makes me want to get involved with it, but I gotta cover that learning curve. How about you, John?
Man, so because I've always been like a daily fantasy guy. Me and Mike have always been, doing the FanDuel and DraftKings stuff. And
Nice.
when right before the pandemic, I was like cashing out daily. And
Nice.
then, we got hit by that when Gobert tested positive. I remember that I was like on a hot streak, and that night just completely screwed me. And we were just trying to get the money back. And then I had this itch because, like, we did our work schedules change to only 2 days a week, so I was sitting at home a lot. And there's only so much like Warzone I can play,
Yeah.
and so I started getting into like I've had a Robinhood account for a while, which RIP Robinhood. I'm not using that crap anymore. Good
Dude,
luck,
I'm
guys.
just looking for
Yeah.
something else to jump on because that they piss me off too, so.
Yep. And so I started getting into a little bit of pattern trading because like both of my parents, they're very casual investors, but they taught me a lot when I was young. And so I started getting into pattern trading here and there, and I kind of just gave up on it once basketball started back up. I started just pumping money back into daily fantasy, and I think the last week I've done so terrible.
Oh.
And I closed my FanDuel account. I deleted DraftKings off my phone. And then a buddy of mine sends the GameStop thing in our group chat, and it was I think it was like at $30, and I
Oh,
go,
gosh.
no, I'm not falling for this. They do that thing with a Dogecoin all the time on Twitter, where it
Yeah.
gets up to like half a penny, and then it collapses. I'm like, it's at $30. I'm not doing this. And then they send another one. I was like, it's at 100, and I was like, okay, now it's really gonna start coming down. I'm not throwing money at this. I'm just gonna let it sit in my bank account until I find something I like. Then I see it at $489, and I just wanted to throw myself off the balcony of my apartment. I couldn't believe that that went that high, but obviously it's all fallen off now. So,
Yeah,
what the
right.
hell, man? We're still poor. Hell yeah, let's go. Seven of the Forever Toros podcast. I'm John, joined by Jonas and Mike, like always. I think we need to start off with Brandon Clark has been in my nightmares all week. Is it just me? Now that Luka's in Disney and then seeing Brandon Clark torch the Spurs for two games in a row, am I the only one that's just losing my mind over this, or no?
Nope, not at all. I mean, I was with you in that. I remember when that pick came up, and I was like, gosh, Brandon Clark's going to be hard to pass on at 19, right? But then I had this feeling, I was like, you know, they had been tied to Luka, and I was just like, I don't know, but Brandon Clark, to me, seemed like the better prospect of the two, and obviously he came in and made it, you know, was able to do something right away. So yeah, now every time, it's like I told you in that text the other day, every time I see him in that Memphis uniform and he ended up killing the Spurs, I'm just like, what could have been? So yeah, I mean, that just killed me the other night, or actually the last two games, really.
You know what's funny though, because I remember at the beginning of the season, someone has sent a video of Brandon Clark on Twitter where he had that new jump shot where it's like starting at the waist and it's literally one-handed. And I go, oh, well, good thing, you know, at least the Spurs wouldn't have screwed that up. That's all I kept thinking to myself. And then now he's actually making those shots against the Spurs. And I'm just like, what the hell happened here? And my biggest fear, because I remember that same thing, like the Spurs were tied to Luka and they were also tied to Goga Bitadze.
Yeah.
And Goga went to Indiana. And I'm like, thank God that guy's off the board. The Spurs won't take him. Then they took Luka. And I about lost it, but obviously Kelvin's made up for it. So let's just get that pain out of the way, you know, because we've got to focus on Luka. We've got to focus on the gubble, the old G League bubble in Disney World. A quick note, happy birthday to Coach Matt Nielsen. We're recording this on Wednesday the 3rd. So, yeah, happy birthday, Coach Nielsen.
Wish I had a kazoo or something we should sing. To blow into.
Do you think people want to hear us sing?
No. No.
Besides that, I think the only thing we haven't covered yet, you guys, is the Kings, since they didn't send the Stockton Kings to the bubble, Robert Woodard got flexed assigned through the Spurs down there. He was actually a teammate of Quindary Weatherspoon for a season at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of interesting to watch. I know, Jonas, you had some conversations about him with Coach Nielsen, didn't you?
I did, and one of the things that I was primarily concerned about when you bring an outsider into an organization like the Spurs, and we talked in the last episode or maybe the one before it about how the focus on Luka when they have a G League season needs to be about developing him and just getting him ready for the NBA, and a lot of that means communication. It means Spurs system knowledge and testing that. And so when you have a player from the Kings now entering the equation, it's like, okay, well, I asked Coach Nielsen, well, how much do you feel limited by having an outsider on the inside with Austin in the gubble? And Coach Nielsen said, really, not too much. He said there might be a couple things here and there that he can't do, but the focus on the bubble for Austin and all the guys that they have is really, he said, going to be about foundational basics. And so if they can help Woodard with the basics and just kind of make him a better player, then he'll the team can do that and it'll be good enough.
Just a quick note, I thought it was funny that when Jonas asked this question, Coach Nielsen made it seem like he was in for some, like, CIA questioning and stuff, and he was just like, well, I'm not going to go into detail over this. And I was just like, it's a G League, right? It's a flex assignment. And by the way, it's like John said, the whole flex assignment thing threw a lot of people off. It's basically because they don't have a team in the bubble. They were able to kind of assign him to another team. So that's the way that worked out. I haven't seen a whole lot of him. His stats don't really jump off the page or anything like that, but I know he's seems to be a solid rebounder, kind of a 3-4 tweener. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And then you kind of wonder, like, it's like Jonas, like you were saying, it's kind of weird having like an outsider come in, basically learning your system or you know this person's system. You kind of wonder if it's like, you know, I mean, obviously they see where he'll help and maybe winning some games, but like, where does the benefit go beyond that?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I would hope that it's financial. Look, the Austin Spurs and the Spurs organization is paying $500,000 to be in the gubble. And so I hope that the Kings are either paying for Woodard's participation and or, you know, in terms of just some kind of compensation to the team for allowing him to be there, because I did ask Coach Nielsen about how Woodard ended up with the team, if it was a G League assignment, like the actual league, or an NBA assignment that said, hey, you have to, you know, we're going to give you to Austin, or if the team got to actually, in a sense, claim him. And Coach Nielsen said it was the latter. They want him there. But so that makes me kind of think, is there a trade? Like, this is the beginning foundation of a back-scratching kind of deal during the season, maybe involving Woodard, maybe not, but someone to come over from the Kings for allowing us to help work on the foundational basics and having access that nobody else in the NBA has unless you pay for it, for Coach Chip England's tutelage, not directly, but through the organization, right? Coach England's not going to Orlando to be a part of this, but there's going to be some tutelage, some knowledge, some of that corporate knowledge being shared. I really hope that means that there's some kind of thing in the works between these organizations.
So you're saying Marvin Bagley in 3 first-round picks, right?
I mean, you could spend a whole episode in Ignite Spurs Twitter with, okay, well, who are you sending for that deal? But something, there's got to be some kind of relationship here, right? There's not a coach-to-coach relationship. There isn't a... I can't draw any lines between these two organizations.
I think the only thing would be Alvin Gentry is an assistant in Sacramento, if I'm not mistaken. But even then, that's not even that much of a relationship that you could tie to it. Like,
yeah, that's pretty a loose one.
I think the only other time we've seen this, Mike, was the I forget which Diallo was it, but it was one of the Diallos that Oklahoma City had flexed to the Spurs, and I think the Spurs were even linked to him at one point.
Yeah, but I think that was that could have been like a Presti deal, you know, or
true.
Yeah, you know, they were trying to help him out, or vice versa. But yeah, I mean, that didn't seem to really do anything in the Spurs' favor. But yeah, so it's you're right. I mean, I'm trying to find some sort of a tie there, and I can't really find anything. With Stockton Kings.
So it has to be a deal, right? That has to be these are GM front office communications happening. That's like, hey, it's like a test drive the car for a month. See if you like it.
I love that idea, though. Like, that's like a market inefficiency, like where you could just say, hey, we spent $500,000 to send our team. You didn't spend a dime. Like, give us something in return.
Yep.
That's kind of interesting. I like that you brought that up. That's actually really I mean, obviously we know Sacramento is pretty inept in their own front office. And who knows? Maybe the Spurs could be taking advantage of that.
Are we gonna get Metu back? Is that the deal? Is Chimezie coming back?
I mean, it all depends on how Luka does in the bubble, right?
I don't want Chimezie back. I'm sorry. Thank you for your service here. We appreciate you.
I can't believe we're starting bubble talk with Chimezie slander. Come on. There's so many other things we can do.
There is, which is all about Luka. It's
exactly.
All about Luka.
It's literally going to be all about Luka. So, that media availability, he really, his whole attitude, which I know is a very stereotypical thing with like these Croatian players, but he just really, he gives off that attitude that he just does not give a bleep what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
He's very cool. He's very calm. He's very sure of himself. So I didn't get full sound bites, but I can give you, here's some bullet points on what he said. He's definitely focused on his effort and being a better teammate. That's to me, that's just player speak, obviously. Yeah. Like, what are you going to say when you're pressed for that? Like, what am I going to improve on? I don't need to improve on anything. I'm in the NBA. Like, come on. I did like that he said he was going to try to prove that he can be a good defender. He said he gained 15 to 20 pounds in the offseason, which is insane, because you see some of the other guys, like DeJounte doesn't look like he's even put up that much muscle, but him and Keldon, Well, I want to know what kind of flavors of Mutopia the Spurs are giving those guys that they could put on that much mass in an offseason. Holy cow. He wants to be more physical, which is good, because that game against Utah was really a disaster when he was driving into the paint, just getting bodied by everyone. I feel so bad for Luka. Someone asked him if he's thought about replacing LaMarcus Aldridge. I'll let you guys take that.
Go ahead. Alex, do it.
I don't want to touch that.
Yeah. I mean, he handled it the best way he could, I think, right? Like, the expectation to the fans has to be that he is the replacement for LaMarcus Aldridge, because LaMarcus has said as much that he wants to finish his time in Portland, and quite frankly, the city's been over him for the most part since he got here.
Yeah.
LaMarcus. And so Luka being that 6'11" lengthy kind of guy with perimeter shooting and some ball handling ability is expected to be that replacement. But he said, you know, LaMarcus is a great player, and my goal is just to get better. So that, I mean, it sounded like he's been prepared for that one by the staff. That one,
oh,
that one was one of the conditioning questions before they put him in front of a live mic.
100%. Like, you know, at least, you know, one of the good things about the Spurs that they've done is at least the question for Luka is about replacing LaMarcus Aldridge, and it's not about replacing Tim Duncan, because that's a whole nother like stratosphere of a question. So at least he only has to focus on replacing LaMarcus, who most fans aren't even a fan of him as it is and have been wanting to trade him since he got here. So that was just such a bad question. I just cringed hearing that, and I'm not calling out any journalists or any papers or anything. It's just like, what do you want the kid to say in that scenario? He's 21 and he's played a handful of NBA games. Like, what is he supposed to say? Like, I think I'm going to be the next Hakeem Olajuwon or something? Like, come on.
Yeah. I know the reporter pretty well because of high school, covering high school football.
Yeah.
Like San Marcos and Austin, and he's a good reporter. But it's not normally his forte is NBA and stuff like that. And so it was kind of one of those things where it was just kind of, I guess, seemed like an obvious question, but to anybody else, I don't know how else he really could have answered that one. It's like replacing Marcus Aldridge. I don't know what it's here to like jump from like 10 feet away to try to block a shot or something.
Oh my god!
I'm not sure, but the funny thing is, like you were talking about, is his like kind of whole demeanor during the whole like media session was so like I don't care type of thing. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. Jonas and I were talking, and I was just like, you kind of wonder if he's read some of Jonas's stuff or seen some of the stuff he wrote. And at one point, he even said the quote, "Social media is not real."
I thought that was right.
Kind of interesting take. Some of the things I liked that he had to say. I mean, I like that he realizes that strength is definitely and something that he needs to improve on, but a lot of it just seemed like, honestly, when I was reading these over Twitter when they were first coming, because I didn't get into the session, but at the time, but then I saw some of the quotes coming back on Twitter, and I was like, this sounds like all like media preparation, like all canned answers type of thing, a lot of it, except for the stuff where he was just kind of like didn't care.
Yeah, it seems like, man, I just remember watching part of that Tiger Woods documentary and how Nike sent him instantly to, like, their own media camp. And it's like, Luka's definitely been through the Spurs media camp and brainwashed to give those canned answers and not reveal anything about himself. Even when it came to, like, the tattoos. Like, obviously, friend of Project Spurs, Jeff Garcia, asking him about the tattoos, and he's like, yeah, they mean something. Yeah, it's not a new thing. It's just something I always wanted to do. And it's just like, okay, well, thanks, man. Like, I know I see one of them that says blessed. One of them looks like an anime character. Like, I want more details about that. But he's just like, yeah, there's something about, you know, good always prevails over evil, whatever. Like, all right, well, good talk. outside of that, he also said that he wanted to prove himself, or he thinks of himself as a leader with last year's experience, which is good. I think the only problem with that is just his demeanor is what just gives me kind of a pause about how much of a leader can he really be.
I don't I don't know if it's quite that he sees himself as a leader, but just that he's the one with the most experience True. Working with Coach Nielsen. And so when they, because the question was kind of led for him to say that he was a leader. And so he's just like, I mean, yeah, kind of. And so I don't know that he's really taking that kind of a stance with it. From his response, what I gathered was just that he brings experience and that he knows what Coach Nielsen is going to ask, and so he can help communicate. But as much as, you know, being asked if he's a leader of the team, he really did, to me, stick out as a student a lot from during his experience, and even learning from his classmate in Keldon Johnson. Keldon, from his attitude, you know, he said when he first met Keldon, his first impression was how loud he is, and in a good way, right? And everybody knows how loud Keldon is because you hear it every time he drives to the basket, every time. And just the relentless energy, the competitiveness that he plays with. So he's looking at Keldon and learning that. He's having conversations with DeJounte about consistency, and consistency was mentioned a lot during from Luka in this availability, where he is talking about, you know, I had some good nights where I was aggressive on defense, and I had some good offensive nights, but it's about working on the consistent effort and then also the consistent attitude. And the attitude is one of those things we're talking about right now, where he looks disengaged. And I think that I actually noted that the time he looked most interested to speak with the media was when Jeff asked him about his tattoos. He kind of lit up a little bit and then provided no answer to the question whatsoever. But I mean, that's where his 15 to 20 pounds came from, was ink. I mean, it's sitting there on his left arm. But you hope that he can kind of evolve a little bit. And I hope more of this, and maybe it comes out from, you know, maybe I dissect this video and do my own dissection of it, but there's parts of this Luka experience that needs to be shared, because this was, and I was talking with Michael about this when we first hopped on, this was really the first time that the San Antonio media got to openly, candidly talk with Luka about himself. Yeah. Last year was all focused on Keldon. But Keldon came out of, even though he was a second first round pick in the class, he came out of Kentucky. He was a blue chip. He was prepared. He's been groomed for this for the last handful of years, for this moment. And Luka even said in the press conference a little bit too, where he's like, basketball was the last sport I picked up. He said, I played soccer longer than anything. Mm-hmm. He mentioned tennis. He mentioned rowing. And then he picked up basketball somewhere around 10 to 13. He's not 100% sure about that. But his father, so we get to learn more about who Luka is as a person. He comes from Croatia, of course, but his father, Marco, he's 6'10", played pro ball in Europe for 20 years.
Yep.
So you start to hear this a little bit more about knowing the guy behind the jersey, or underneath the jersey, right? And that, I think that story needs to come out a little bit more, because what's so dangerous is the comparison of him to Keldon. And if Spurs fans, and I mean, the media too, when I'm one of those guys, I compared him and I've given him my fair share of lashings. But when you look at how much Keldon has succeeded in such a short amount of time, again, you have to take it with two totally different upbringings and two totally different styles of basketball that they learned the sport through. And if you're a little bit more patient, the reason why you take a Luka Šamanić over a Brandon Clark is just ceiling potentials. Again, he's still growing. I think he just turned 21 this year, 2021.
He's already said he's gotten up to 6'11", which is crazy to me.
Yeah, his draft day was 6'10". And so he's still adding on a couple more inches. He said he's never really hit a growth spurt. He's just been consistently tall his whole life. And so as we learn more about Luka, I think that fans might find a little bit more patience with him if they can learn to like the guy. I think that the same thing happened with Lonnie Walker coming out of the bubble. And over the summer, when Lonnie became more open with his past, right, about what he's gone through, I really think that a lot of Spurs fans have gotten behind him a little bit more And rather than, you know, maybe looking at him as a bust or trying to trade Lonnie and stuff like that, wondering why he's not playing 40 minutes a game, it's been a little bit more, okay, Lonnie, we're just kind of behind you. So yeah. Get behind Luka.
It's definitely, I've loved the sociology and the psychology behind the players. And just
yes.
Even in those 11 minutes of talking to Luka and hearing what he had to say, it was really great. And especially learning about his dad, how he comes from a dad that played basketball for his life, like as a job. This isn't
yeah.
some guy that, you know, just flamed out of the league and never played basketball again. And then the fact that Luka has played other sports and that he was good at them and then was just basically said, well, hell, let me try basketball and get to the NBA. It just shows you, like, the ceiling is just really unlimited with him, and despite all his, you know, demeanor and, you know, maybe you have to think about, like, these guys come from overseas. He's probably not comfortable in San Antonio yet. They did the thing where they had the Spurs, the young guys draw Texas on the Spurs Instagram. And I don't even remember what Luka put, but it looked like he didn't even try. Like, he just said, I don't know what the hell Texas looks like here.
I think it was a square that yeah. or a rectangle that said Texas on it. Yeah. There you go.
Like, it's just like, this guy doesn't even know where he is, let alone what the state looks like. Like, we can't really judge him on his character and his demeanor yet, because he's probably not comfortable. He hasn't been here long enough to probably have a breakfast taco. Like, you know, it's just little things like that. Like, you just... Yeah. You know, I'm with you on that. Like, we've obviously praised him and we've trashed him. And that's just kind of our job as, you know, what we try to do. But yeah. That doesn't take away our desire to see these players succeed and see them grow, especially if they become success stories like, you know, a Keldon Johnson or a Kyle Anderson. I remember Mike, like, we went out there, we didn't think much of Kyle Anderson, but he was averaging a double-double. We said, okay, there's probably something there. And yeah. He's parlayed that into a pretty nice contract on a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, yeah, and he did look good the other night, too. He seems to, you know.
Let's not talk about that. Come on.
Yeah. He seems to find his spot, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, Luka's just got to – I think it's also just one of those things, like you guys said. I mean, he's got to be a little more open to peeling back the layers a little bit, because you can tell everybody was going for a feature angle and their questions. And
yeah.
He kind of – didn't, I mean, he gave some answers, but didn't really give, I guess, what you look for. And it kind of reminds me of Kawhi Leonard's rookie year and interviewing him, and everything he gave me was like a one-word answer, or like very, like, you know, obviously monotone, like.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like one of those pulling teeth type things. So, but right. I did like that he was talking about that he and Trae Jones already have. Seem to have a pretty good off-the-court relationship, and I think that'll really be good for their on-the-court, you know, how they do in their chemistry. And so I think they're kind of like going to be the cornerstone for this team. So that'll be good to see. But I guess we'll just have to keep seeing, you know, what he does when he's able to open up a little bit more, because it's like you said, I mean, it's a lot easier to root for some of these guys if you know a little bit more. I mean, we knew everything about Lonnie and his backstory and growing up in Reading and everything, so that was a lot different, and everybody likes to hear that stuff, so
yeah.
It's just part of the game. It's just part of being a professional basketball player. There's marketing involved, too.
Right. I mean, yeah, you go to your Derek Whites, who come out of culinary school, your DeJounte's, who grow up the way they did in Washington, and DeMar. I think that the more open DeMar has become with the city. The city also turns around and embraces him as well. I mean, maybe LaMarcus needs to do that. And I understand he's from our backyard, but he could buy some good graces and stop talking about going to Portland. But, I mean, Luka's going to be one part of this team, and then you also have the Trae Jones connection, but you also have the Quindary Weatherspoon connection, and Kenny Williams, who was available to the media on Monday as well. And on Sunday, actually. And so between Quindary and Luka and Kenny, those three guys all spent time in Austin last year with Coach Matt Nielsen when he was Blake Ahern's assistant. This year, they're going to be the three that are going to lead this team a little bit more. You add in the fact that Trae Jones has already gotten his first bit of an education with the Spurs and how they operate. So he's not coming in like a complete G League guy right out of the draft because he's been with this team for the last 2 months as they prepared in December and then obviously coming here into January. So you should see, I think, a good bit of chemistry, a good bit of communication, and if the G League focus is what I'm hoping it's for, which is to prepare Luka, then he's already got a shooting guard and a point guard all ready to dish him up.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, we've talked about before. Austin is not only about developing the Spurs players and teaching them, like, the proper ways to play Spurs basketball and get them acclimated with the system, but it's in case if anything ever happens where these guys fail at the NBA level, you want them to be pros elsewhere. And yes. Matt Nielsen is proof of that because, obviously, he won championships in Australia. He had former Spur Bryce Cotton down there winning MVPs and winning championships, and that's still a success. Even though it's, you know, you probably look at it and a lot of Spurs fans will probably say, hey, well, he didn't succeed here, so why do I care? But that's just the Spurs, you know, imprint all across the globe and all across basketball, which is something that you can really take pride in. And it's why we love doing this. It's why we geek out over Austin constantly, because it's just so cool to see how these guys develop as people. And touching on that real quick, like, Galen Robinson is going to be playing in the G League bubble. I couldn't tell you for who. He's been really quiet about it, but he's down there. And that's another thing where it's like, okay, what did he take from the University of Houston to San Antonio to Austin to now whatever organization this is? Where does that lead him in the future? You know, he took it overseas into Germany and now coming back this way. That growth is just really fun to see. And, you know, Matt Nielsen even said it himself. He's focused on the development of the players and the group first. It's not about trying to win a championship, and that's just a bonus.
Right.
And then Luka getting his second opportunity, this is his time to prove himself. You know, the second year is usually the rookie come up, but for him, this is more of like a real rookie year, and especially with, you know, truncated training camp, no summer league, none of that. He's going to get all the opportunities he wants, but also look at the other Spurs assets. And I know we're recording this Wednesday before the Timberwolves game, and Keita Bates-Diop and these guys are still with San Antonio because obviously there's injury concerns. Rudy's out, LaMarcus is out, so we won't get to see the two-way guys like we would like, but this is also an opportunity for them to not, like, especially for Luka and Trey Jones, it's an opportunity for them to not get their minutes stolen by guys who are still on the fringe of an NBA roster, who are playing for another contract. These guys have their guaranteed deals as rookies. They don't need to worry about that stuff. And when you've got this isn't to slander like Keita Bates-Diop or Quindary Weatherspoon or Drew Eubanks, but those guys are now playing for contracts. They're not playing for the opportunity. And if you can get these kids to play for that opportunity and earn that opportunity, then you don't have to worry about Keita in the future. You don't have to worry about Quindary in the future. You don't have to worry about Drew. And that's not to say, you know, don't play here anymore, but there's a lot of roster turnover coming in the next few months that the Spurs need to get whatever they can out of the next couple of games.
Yeah, and this one's kind of like cooking Luka in the microwave, right?
Yeah.
So I actually wrote a piece about, check out, it was in one of the pieces on Project Spurs, about how Austin is like an incubation period, right? And it just happens with all of our rookies. It's happened with everybody with the exception of Devin Vassell. And his I think that if the G League would have started at a normal time, then Devin too would have started in the G League.
Absolutely.
Just for consistency, so that all of these guys understand the grind that each individual has to put into it to get out to become a part of this team. But Devin got put into a position of need sooner than I think the Spurs even wanted him to be, and because of the way the G League was delayed.
Well, also, let's add real quick, also the Derek White's health played a big part into that, too.
Right, and that's one of those things that forced the need for Devin Vassell to become engaged with this team earlier than the team wanted, But so now we're putting Luka in the microwave. We're taking him out of this slow cooker of the incubation, you know, chamber, and we're going to toss him in the microwave and say, "All right, you've got 1 month that is the G League season, and when you know regular season, and hopefully, you know, Austin can make a run at a title for the G League title." But you're going to push them into this microwave and say, all right, hurry up and cook, because we're ready for you now. Because there's going to be a trade deadline coming up here shortly, and we've already talked about, there are questions up and down this roster about who's going to be a part of this moving forward, and LaMarcus Aldridge is one of those pieces. And even though he was asked that in the interview, do you see yourself as a replacement for LaMarcus? If Luka can ball out and show that he can handle the scoring responsibilities and defensive responsibilities and show that he can be aggressive at the basket, then I think that the team might feel comfortable trying to move LaMarcus before the deadline.
Yep.
So, but it depends, again, how well he cooks during this time. Do you combust in the microwave? Do you just explode everywhere? You know, like, this is going to be one of those questions. So I'd love to see this high pressure environment. You were talking about it earlier, John, where you're playing. It seems like they're playing every day this week, Austin. It's like you said, you wanted a season. Well, here you go. You've got 30 days to play a whole season.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. And let me just add real quick, because it just came down as the Spurs pregame is going on. Aldridge will be out longer than tonight's game, but no operation is needed. So that's also, you know, the thing with Luka is he's also got to beat out Trey Lyles. And, you know, Jakob Poeltl is going to start in LaMarcus's place, but Trey Lyles is going to get his minutes. And that's someone who's unguaranteed going into next year that Luka still has to even prove to, can you handle any kind of minutes behind him? Can you handle taking Drew Eubanks' minutes? So going back to the schedule, though, 5 games this week. 5. Ooh. What? Like, who is in charge of this? Like, I get they don't have to travel, but you get to start off with the back-to-back? Like, and let me just say, Memphis is no slouch. The Memphis Hustle are the first game, and they have Jontay Porter, Zaire Smith, and David Stockton. And David Stockton is G League legend. Like, everyone knows his dad, but David Stockton is a G League legend. Jontay Porter is obviously the brother of Michael Porter Jr., and I know he had all the talent in the world. I remember teasing our buddy Trevor Zikraff about the Spurs taking him until he tore his ACL at Missouri. And then Zaire Smith is another guard that everyone that watches college sports in Texas knows out of Texas Tech. Like, I don't know how the hell he's not on an NBA team. I know that he's gotten bounced around, and that's probably taken a toll on his game, but that's someone who could make a lot of noise. And that Memphis team is a really strong test for the Spurs to start off with.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, yeah. I mean, if we didn't get enough of a taste of Memphis, like the last couple of days, and then they start off on 10th against Memphis, and you're right. I mean, Jontay Porter is a guy that they're very high on, and last time I talked to a few Memphis Grizzlies writers, they were just telling me that they're so high on him, and Memphis has big plans for him. So that's gonna be definitely a guy to look out for. So. It's a definitely test right away, and especially if Luka gets into a matchup with a player like that, then, you know, we'll see if those 15 pounds a week, as Jonas said, it'd help him out in that kind of a matchup right away.
Yeah, and when you look at this matchup, you know, this is a standings matchup from last year. The Memphis Hustle was right ahead of Austin, pushing for a G League playoff spot before everything pushed pause. So you've got the regional battle, and you've got the divisional battle. Of course, they're not worried about divisions this year. I don't think they're going to be. It's super condensed, and there's teams participating and teams not participating. But when you look at why they might be trying to get these 5 games in really fast, John, I'm kind of thinking that it might be to get game ready before the NFL season ends. Because once the Super Bowl happens on Sunday, the NBA is entering a period of who knows what, because they're only scheduled through the end of this month themselves. The first half of the season schedule ends, and they have to decide whether they're going to bubble based on health concerns. Are we going to have fans in the stands? What's going to happen for the second half? And so there's going to be a lot of guys looking for some action, whether it's betting, because the stock market has all slowed down and you can't buy GameStop for $10 a pop anymore or whatever. But The G League is being really heavily embraced. They're going to be on Twitch. They're going to be on ESPN Plus, ESPNU, NBA TV, YouTube. So it's not just going to be Facebook Live broadcasts that fans of the G League are more familiar with, just that free access point. There's going to be a little bit of a paywall now because it's going to be some of the only action happening. And it's the only bubble environment. So should the NBA get shut down at any point in February, that means that the only entity they will have is the G League.
Yep.
So I think it's about getting TV ready. Hurry up and get conditioned, because they all just got to Orlando last week. They've been conditioning this week, getting to know guys that are coming from everywhere around the world, to who's now joining your team. There's only, like we talked about, there's only four actual Spurs on this team. When you talk about experience, even to add Kenny Williams, within his experience with Austin last year, that actually know each other. The rest of the guys are all pretty much strangers. And so how do you get ready? How do you get ready fast? You play games.
Yep. And, you know, the other thing, too, is like the NHL kind of went completely opposite of the NBA and has a little bit more of a sporadic schedule. And this is your time to, you know, make kind of a name for yourself, because, like you said, once the NFL ends, baseball is going to try to do their whole 162, which I think is insane, because the players don't want to take any kind of pay cut or any time off. They don't want to push the season back. So hey, February, right before, you know, these guys go in there for spring ball, this is it. And I love that we don't have to guess where the G League is going to be played this year. Because, man, we've had, I forgot one of the websites that wasn't even like, it wasn't even an American website that the G League was broadcasting on a few seasons ago.
Oh my goodness.
That you had to pay a subscription for. And I go, first, if I can't get that here, there's no shot. Like, I'm not paying for this thing to broadcast out of, you know, somewhere in Europe for $10 a month to watch a couple mm-hmm. Austin Spurs games. It's not happening. So to see ESPN get ahead of the bubble and kind of push for all these games and to run them on NBA TV and even on Twitch. Man, people, they had like 30 people watching a dead stream on Twitch the other night, because I remember getting on at work and I just see like 30 people are just watching bars. And it's like, I hope all of these people are production people and people aren't just watching thinking a game is going to happen.
Well, I was one of them, John, because I got the notification. I got the notification on my phone and I'm like, oh, great. I mean, talking with Kenny Williams on Sunday, I asked him if he was holding out instead of like doing what Diedrich and Dalton and Galen and Angel did in terms of playing internationally right now, if he was holding out and waiting for a G League kind of experience. And he said, not really. He said, he's like, this just kind of got thrown together so fast. And so even everybody else is trying to just kind of catch up. And so here I was, I got the notification for Twitch on my phone that the G League went live and that Austin's playing, and I'm like, oh my god, there's a scrimmage really fast. So I go in there and there's just the television, you know, program waiting bars, and I'm like, I mean, is this going to happen? Or, I mean, it teased me here, and I need to see some basketball. But I was one of those guys.
I'm not going to lie. I was hoping for like some kind of special pregame show or something. It was like, just tease me, please. But no, it was just bars. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll watch it. I'll give it 5 minutes. And I just remember I was like, I'm literally watching bars on Twitch. Like, I could be watching anything else on Twitch, and I'm just watching color bars. So getting back to the schedule real quick. So the five games, because we're going to obviously record weekly now that we've got actual content and games going on. Hell yeah. We got the Memphis Hustle, the Lakeland Magic, which, so we already talked about Jontay Porter, but former Aggie DJ Hogg is going to be someone else that Luke is going to have to guard, you would hope, who played for the Wisconsin Herd previously, now with the Magic. That's a 6'9 forward. You know, he's 24. He's a man. Like, this isn't some kid. So Luke is going to have his hands full with him too. You've got the Erie Bayhawks, who also have someone I really wanted that I can't believe isn't in the NBA anymore, Omari Spellman, and Jordan Bell, Warriors legend Jordan Bell is on that team. The Fort Wayne Mad Ants, who I couldn't really, I think Cassius Stanley was the only name I really recognized out of that whole roster. And a little bit of Brian Bowen. I've seen a little bit of Brian Bowen with the Pacers. And then the last game would be I believe, Tuesday for the week. Yeah, Tuesday against the Canton Charge. And Canton's roster is a little bit of a mix and match. Malachi Richardson's probably the only, like, career G-leaguer who's still pretty young, but he's the only one I really recognized on that. So 5 games, 7 days. I don't have anything to add to that. That's just kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, but at least we've got something. And this is going to move so fast, and we can knock these five out of the way really quick because I'm really counting down to the last one. The G League Ignite program is going to be the Austin Spurs' last quote-unquote regular season game. And that's the, I mean, when you look at what the G League has provided us during their down period, it's just been all Ignite guys. And they kind of had to. We mentioned it before because this is this is their whole alternative option to going to the college level and getting guys integrated right away with the NBA. And so you had to do some kind of publicity for them. But if you watched the scrimmages back in December, they were just kind of against former G League players, and the Ignite showed that they weren't ready. They showed that they were high schoolers that hadn't been conditioned, that hadn't played any semblance of a college basketball season. Not everybody gets to come out of high school and be LeBron James. It's just, you know, it's just not going to happen. And so I'm really interested to see not only them playing, but them playing after having gone through the gauntlet. Because when we see them, they will have played 14, 15 other games against the G League talent, growing with Brian Shaw as their head coach and building their chemistry. I mean, we talk about how fun it is to watch this young San Antonio Spurs team. Imagine watching a young G League Ignite program and just the athleticism galore and pace.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the other thing. I just want to make a disclaimer for Spurs fans real quick. If things start going wrong in the bubble, if people don't look right, especially with Luka and Trey Jones, please don't panic. Some of these games are at 10 in the morning. Yeah, I wouldn't want to play basketball at 10 in the morning either, honestly. Like, especially, I think the first game is at 10:30 in the morning, and then the back-to-back the following day is at 6:30 in the afternoon. So it's just kind of, they're going to be all over the place. It's going to be really strange, but I mean, I'm really curious as to see the conditioning level for some of these guys, because there's still a lot of these guys that are just arriving today that are still going to have to do their quarantine period. But to wrap things up, you know, we've got those five games. Just be on the lookout for us recording every week. We're going to try not to cut off Paul Garcia and the Spurs cast. But, you know, if we get the content, it'll be out there. Jonas will be covering games. I'll be covering games. Mike will be covering games. So written, podcast, rate, subscribe, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, get those numbers up, all that fun stuff. And, yeah, just follow Jonas on Twitter, Mike on Twitter. Guys, I'm sorry I don't know the handles off the top of my head because I didn't write them down, but obviously Mike will put them in the post because he's a good editor. And you guys can follow them there. Follow me. Follow Project Spurs. And everyone stay safe, and let's basketball!
Woo!
That was weak.
I think 15 pounds of weak needs to be like the show title.
Oh my god, yes, please.
What's that?